So far in our study of the Holy Spirit on Sunday evenings, we've taken a look at who He is, and then we have looked at scriptures that teach us that He dwells within us. Of course, there's so much more to discover about the Holy Spirit, especially folks are interested in the work of the Holy Spirit and His relationship to us today. But before we get into the Bible to discover what is taught, I want to share with you a goal that I have in this lesson and the others to follow. I have no intentions of telling you what I think. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter what Danny Stewart thinks. It doesn't matter what any of us thinks. What does matter is what the Bible teaches us. Now, I want you to beware, because all the questions that you have may not be addressed specifically in Scripture. And so, those questions that you have, well, they're addressed with Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of the law. And so Moses, way back when, was dealing with people's questions that we don't have an answer for. Now, you may have a clear concept of how the Holy Spirit works in your life, and you may be correct about that. But you may be wrong. I've read a considerable amount of materials over the years on the Holy Spirit. Some of the authors treat the Bible verses with great care, making sure that all the verses are considered in their context, while others use very little scripture and completely ignore the context and tell you all about the Holy Spirit according to what they think. My goal is to allow the Bible to teach us how the Holy Spirit works in our lives today and the nature of our relationship with Him, with the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote the church in Ephesus and instructed, you remember this, he told them to put on the whole armor of God and stand. Take a stand. And as he concludes this description of the suit of armor, he says this toward the end of Ephesians 6:18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So what's Paul talking about? This praying in the Spirit. We all know that we have been baptized, Matthew 28:19, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, in the name of, we literally have come into their possession, if you will. Paul indicated this when he wrote to the church at Corinth. And you remember some were bragging about who baptized them. And so Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 1:13. Is Christ divided? What was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, if they had been baptized in or into the name of Paul, then they would have belonged to Paul's church. Right? And if they belonged to Paul, they could rightly say, I am of Paul. But they had not been baptized in the name of Paul. They'd been baptized in the name of Christ. And so they were of Christ. When we're baptized into the possession of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Of course, that's really descriptive of our new relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we have placed ourselves under the authority of them. We live in a spiritual realm different than we've ever lived before. Colossians 1:13 says, He, speaking of God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And so we live in that sphere, that spiritual kingdom, and in relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We live in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, if you will. And so it simply makes sense that the sphere in which we pray is in the Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God and make sure that you're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's your relationship in the Spirit. And so as we pray in the Spirit, we are assured that the Holy Spirit helps us with our prayers. In fact, we're going to see that He helps us tonight in various ways. What does the Bible say? Again, that's the question, right? What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says that the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Now turn to Romans 8. In Romans 8, Paul emphasized that we are children of God. And he explained that although we suffer with Christ, we shall also be glorified with Him. Why? Because we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In fact, this glorious reward in our future is so wonderful, verse 18, Romans 8, 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Sometimes we face tough days, however. Paul's reminding us it won't always be that way. In fact, Paul says even the creation itself, and he's sort of personifying creation, even creation awaits this. Look at verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the Son of God, or the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Isn't that an interesting word picture that he's painting there? And so here's all this anticipation. We're struggling now. We're groaning now. Things can be really tough now. But we know that in fact what is going to be, these sufferings, they won't even begin to compare with how wonderful and glorious it'll be in the future. Paul goes on to say that though we have the first fruits of the Spirit, verse 23, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. All right, Siri just kicked off, didn't she? That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was somebody's phone, okay? So we need help. We're groaning. We're struggling. We're dealing with difficulties. Knowing that they're not going to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. But we need help, and we should be the first to admit it. We even struggle with what to say when we're praying to our Father in heaven in the Spirit. And so look at verse 26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Listen to me. There is a powerful, encouraging, and practical lesson for us in this biblical truth. The Spirit helps us in our prayers. We know that Jesus taught us how to pray. You know, we're to pray that God's will be done. We're to pray for our daily bread, for forgiveness, for the ability to forgive, for wisdom to deal with temptation, for deliverance from Satan. And we're taught to pray, praise God as we pray. We're taught to be thankful. And of course, we pray for open doors. And even more, the wisdom to recognize the doors that are open versus the doors that shut. But who among us would boast that they always pray for things exactly as they ought? Now we're dealing with something else. Sometimes we face circumstances. You ever face circumstances you don't even know what to pray for? You don't even know what to pray for. Well, we face decisions in life and we don't even have a clue which way to go. And so let's all join in. We need help, right? But listen to me. You don't have to know the answer to every question which may be raised to know that the Holy Spirit is helping you, especially helping you in those prayers. You don't have to know exactly how the Holy Spirit is helping you in order to know that He is, in fact, helping you. He's doing this. Paul, writing this letter with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, affirms that the Holy Spirit absolutely is making intercession for us. What an incredible source of assurance and confidence for us. We're all feeble. We all find ourselves feeling so ignorant. We just don't know what to do. And sometimes we just step across the line, or we stumble across the line, or we miss the mark. All concepts of sin. And then we approach the throne of God spiritually, and we stand in awe of God. We stand in awe of His holiness, and we end up wondering, how could I possibly ever be worthy of approaching God? You know, some folks just throw their hands up and quit. With Jesus Christ as our high priest, we are invited to the throne room of God. And we're told to come with boldness. In the original language, that meant walking into the king's throne room and speaking your mind. You don't have to have permission from the king. You come in with boldness. You can speak what is on your heart. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Some of my favorite passages in the context we're talking about. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Of course, talking about Jesus. A great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Hold them fast. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He understands. He understands temptation. And then verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What an incredible passage. What an incredible word picture. And as we approach this throne of grace, we know that the Spirit is helping in our prayers. Our prayers are acceptable to God because the Holy Spirit's interceding for us. In spite of our weaknesses, our spirits, our prayers are not foolishness as they come before God. God has not closed His ears or written us off because the Spirit is helping us, interceding for us. Even in our prayers, He's speaking for us. So, let's just come clean with ourselves. We all know what we want, but we don't always know what's best for us, right? You say, well, that's my kid. You know, they know what they want. No, that's true for all of us. Sometimes when we're praying, we ask with a pure heart and with pure motives. And sometimes not so much. Sometimes we're like Moses who pleaded with God to let him go into the promised land. You remember as they approach the promised land and Moses starts preaching all the lessons again, the book of Deuteronomy. God had told him, you're not going into the promised land. And Moses pleads for God to allow him to do that. Deuteronomy 3:23. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account. He said that to the Israelites. The Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Can we even begin to understand how much Moses wanted to cross that Jordan River and fall on his knees and kiss the promised land? And so we understand. We understand Moses. We need the Holy Spirit's intercession. Because sometimes we ask with very little trust that the Lord's going to answer in our requests. It's a lack of confidence. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of love sometimes that taints our prayers. But sometimes we just can't imagine that God would answer it. And so we ask doubting and we're wavering. And we don't expect the Lord, He's going to answer. We don't expect Him to say yes to our request. And sometimes we mask all of that with practiced formality in our prayers. Some have been taught that when you pray, you always say thee and thou, the language of the King James. And that's fine, but that's not required. A disconnection is apparent when we draw near to God with our lips and our hearts are far from Him. He always recognizes that. Oh, for the prayer that goes up to God, flavored with faith, hope, and love. Heralded by the Holy Spirit, if you will. He's interceding for us and presented in the name of Jesus Christ. We also need the Spirit's help because sometimes our prayers can become presumptuous. That simply means that sometimes we tend to dictate to God. You know, not your will, but mine be done. God, I need you to do this. I need this and I need it now. And then we read passages like James 4, verses 13 through 16. You recognize this, where James says, come now, James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And then verse 16 says this, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And so when we become presumptuous, telling God what we're going to do, not asking God, if it's according to your will, God, help us do this, then we need the Spirit's help. Sometimes we just lose heart and give up. You remember in Luke 18, Jesus told a parable about a woman who simply wore a judge down until he avenged her against her enemies. You remember that? Avenged her against some folks that had mistreated her. But this is what Jesus said in Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them. Actually, this is what Luke is writing. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray. And here's the point. And not lose heart. That's the whole point of the parable. Don't lose heart. And Jesus makes the point with that parable that God will do the same for us if you don't lose heart. There are a couple Old Testament passages that help us understand this. We've been reading about the Assyrians. As the Assyrian army battled its way to Jerusalem and then laid siege to the city, the king of Judah, as you can imagine, was just overwhelmed. The most powerful army on the planet had besieged his city. And King Hezekiah, a very godly king, he found it hard to express sensible words in his prayers. He was so overwhelmed. Isaiah 38:14, he says, like a crane or a swallow, so I chattered. I mourned like a dove. My eyes fell from looking upward. Oh Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me. And so, Lord, I don't know what to say. I can't say the right things. Lord, I'm just looking to you. I'm oppressed. You take care of this. You ever felt that way? Don't lose heart. And when you don't even know what to ask for, just, Lord, here it is. Undertake for me. David in Psalm 77:4 said, you hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. You ever been there? Listen to me. It's at times like these that we're comforted, knowing that the Holy Spirit is actively taking our petitions before God. Well, we all know that it's wrong to be presumptuous or weak-hearted or practice more formality in our prayers. You know, I'll never forget an old gentleman in a church far from here. We could have written out his sermon, I mean his prayer, and it would have been exactly the same every time. But it wasn't for me to say that he wasn't meaning every word of it, right? But he prayed exactly the same thing every time he prayed. Significant words. But we can be presumptuous. We can be weak-hearted. We can just be formal in our prayers without meaning what we say. In other words, we need help to get it right, even in the things which we know. And how much more do we need help in the things which we don't know? That was Hezekiah. I'm like a crane or a swallow. I'm just chattering. I don't even know what to say. I'm just mourning like a dove. Paul wrote, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, back in Romans 8. The idea is that the Spirit puts His burdens, your burdens, on His shoulders, and He carries them to the throne for you and presents them to God clearly. He carries them with us, in us, for us, while strengthening us and enabling us to endure the burden. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Tonight, if you have needs in your life and you need us to pray with you or for you, please come now while we stand and sing.